Being in this band, my home life has changed dramatically over the years. I don't usually go out when I'm home, I'll be honest, almost to hermit-like degrees. Not that I was ever really a socialite before the band got started, but spending my life on the road playing shows night after night, when you finally are able to decompress back home, you stay home. Too many friends, too many times, have texted me asking me if I'm going to go to this show or that show, or if they'll see me at this place or at this party, etc., etc. I think there's only two people in my life who will text me or email me to see if I'm going to some event, and they hardly ever do anyways. One of those people is Nick Flanagan. And Nick can attest to my countless rebuffs. Most of my friends have given up, and we've either maintained our friendship by deliberately planning to meet for lunch or dinner, or sometimes running into each other on the street, which in turn commences a series of emails back and forth that lasts for a week or two. In doing this podcast, my life has shifted yet again. Most of the time, these episodes are done from my place at home when I'm off the road. So I've caught myself wanting to leave my place in order to have something to talk on the podcast about, or maybe run into someone that we could bring on the podcast. In other words, even when trying to assimilate back home, the band and now the podcast are always on my mind. So, during this past Christmas, I ventured out a few times to a few Christmas house parties with the sole intent of simply enjoying myself with good friends and forgetting the band, forgetting the podcast, and of course, I end up bumping into Nick Flanagan at one of these things. And of course, we just talked about the podcast with another friend of ours, Nick Sewell. Nick Sewell was there too. Our three-way conversation in a tiny corner amidst the raging party we were at had me stop and go, "This conversation we're having, this conversation should be a podcast." Both of them agreed, and voila, Nick Sewell is this episode's podcast guest. Nick is in Biblical, a band that has opened for us many times around the Toronto area. They're a great band, and more people need to hear about them. In fact, their song Married Man outros this episode. If you like what you hear, check out Biblical at biblicalband.com and biblicalbandcamp.com. Nick is the lead singer and bassist. He's the leader of the band. He's also done time in the metal band Chort and the hard driving, hard rocking band The Illuminati, who some of you may or may not know. You may know them for being this ferocious three-piece rock act that opened for us for a few years as well, and they made some inroads in the States. So this episode is pretty much what our conversation at the party we all met at during the holidays sounded like. Most of the time when I eavesdrop on conversations at parties, they are the most vapid, mindless, small talk bullshit sessions one can be put through. I honestly could give a shit if you can't believe I've never seen the show Lost, or how much I don't care you bought a new houseplant. I'll nod my head so you don't feel uncomfortable and go around the party telling everyone how much of an asshole I am, but truth be told, that's what I'm really thinking. Now, the conversation you're about to hear is equally vapid, but if you like Danzig, if you like rock, if you like bullshitting about Danzig and rock, and if you like Nick Flanagan's tweets, well, then get ready for this one. Some footnotes to start off with, and they won't make any sense to you until you listen to the episode, but I have to say it here because it's the only chance I have. Jerry Only and Glenn Danzig share the Misfits merchandising. The Danzig skull was taken from the Marvel comic book Crystar Crystal Warrior from 1983. Doesn't make sense now? Listen to our conversation. It will then. So, supreme thank yous to Blue Mic Microphones and Skull Candy Headphones for your support making this podcast happen. Here we go. Nick Sewell is this episode's guest on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. I'm starting now.
Okay. But I'm gonna, okay. Now you guys have to live pick what I tweet.
Testing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Now we got to clear things up here because we have two Nicks in the room. There's two Nicks. I don't know who to call, what to call you guys. Nick Sewell is our guest today.
Hi.
Musician.
I don't know what to do, man. There's two Nicks here, man.
Well, we know that's Flanagan.
Just gang Flanagan. Up on him.
Yeah.
That's Nick Sewell and Danko Jones.
You can call me Danko.
No.
That'll clear it up.
So let's introduce Nick to everybody who is unfamiliar with Nick Sewell. Nick Sewell is the, I'm talking about you in front of you.
I'm not listening. So
all right.
Okay.
So Nick fronts a band called Biblical. He was in a band called The Illuminati.
He's short.
He's toured a lot. He's been in mags and stuff, and you've seen his photo.
You've been in mags?
I've been in mags.
Cro-Mags? You were in Cro-Mags? You were in the mags?
I used to drum.
Talked about the Cro-Mags already in the last podcast.
I used to drum in the Cro-Mags.
That's cool.
And Nick is a resident tech support, computer savvy, genius bar guy.
Yeah, that's true.
you don't work there, but when we're on the
unpaid
road.
Unpaid intern.
When my computer has busted in the past, I've always called Nick up.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with music or why he's here.
Is it like
actually,
a classic
it's totally
scene?
What, I'm just supervising the to make sure everything goes right.
Tell me about it. I feel very safe doing this podcast. Usually when we have someone, especially someone I kind of don't know too well, I'm a little nervous that this thing will fucking cack out on me.
Okay, guys.
And it has.
Look, I told you I was going to do this before, but I got to put a tweet in right now. And I have all these draft tweets. Can you guys vote on what I should tweet?
Totally.
Okay, I'll just tell them to do really quickly. I can't believe everybody thought that Morgan Freeman quote about LinkedIn being useful was actual Morgan Freeman. Hashtag bucket list.
That's like 240 words.
No. It fits. What about video game designers make lots of enemies? That's a good one.
That's a little too true. Yeah.
I know, it doesn't have that extra thing. Christmas Eve, I got in an argument with my Cantonese neighbors because it's a tradition for Jews to have Chinese feud that night.
Okay, that's the contender.
That's a good one, man.
That's the contender so far.
And I already tweeted this, but Chuck Berry isn't really my cup of pee. That one is a good one. Yeah, I don't know.
When did you tweet that? I didn't read that.
Oh, they just demolished an old building in heaven. Hashtag rubble in paradise. Okay, well, thank you very much, guys, for this. Yeah, Nick, you're part of the inaugural which tweet do I use portion of the podcast. We've never done this before.
I feel like it's going to stick.
Yeah.
It could be like a new segment every episode.
Well, anyways, for anybody who doesn't know, Nick's band Biblical, his old band Illuminati, have opened for us numerous times around the area. Do you know, like last New Year's Eve, and we're doing this a few days before New Year's Eve, I just realized I spent it with Nick Sewell.
Where at?
At Cherry Cola's Rock and Roll.
Oh, yeah, Caius, the Caius show.
Biblical opened for Caius.
Right.
And there was a very special, Caius played, or Caius Lives, or whatever you want to call him. Caius Lives played in this room that could fit
60 people.
Yeah, 50, 60 people.
It's a small bar.
And it was, so we spent New Year's Eve.
Was it full? Was it just disgustingly full?
Did they sell out of those tickets? Because the tickets were $200, right?
They're $200. But if you're into the band, like, you know.
In a room that's probably as big as your living room, it's kind of worth it, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they killed it. It was.
They did.
It actually, and surprisingly, the sound was really awesome.
It was, wasn't it?
It was like really heavy and you could hear John's vocals and it was like.
Because the stage is really low. I mean, it's just one step from the floor. Yeah. And those kinds of places, you always are wary as to how a show will come off. But seeing that the ticket prices were $200, I think that deterred the bodies and you got a real intimate show out of it.
Cherry Cola is part of Toronto's rock bar culture. It's in the rock bar.
I guess we should say this.
L.
Yeah.
Co-owner is Cherish, and that thus the Cherry Cola. And Eagles of Death Metal, if you're a fan of Eagles of Death Metal, They have a song called Cherry Cola.
Yeah. And she's actually, I believe she's from Palm Desert.
Mm-hmm. There, it's about her. The song's about her.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so they've played, Eagles of Death Metal have played there.
Yeah. I know, like, Josh Homme, like, hangs out there.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Dave Grohl did some sort of acoustic thing there.
Yeah.
Zombie? Something. What's the zombie quote, Rob?
When you're on tour in the van, if you've never been on tour in a van with a band before,
right.
It is excruciating. And the hours that go by have to be killed.
Especially in Canada, where the distances are just like so severe.
Or America.
Everything.
Band breaking up.
Yeah, like 8 hours between shows.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking
about... And that's fine if it happens once or twice in the tour. It happens every day if you tour Canada.
Yeah.
And so you have to kill time. And now it's gotten easier. There's iPods and iPads and all that stuff.
Podcasts.
I don't do a podcast in the van.
Nobody wants to hear
Nobody wants that. And the engine will be louder than the voices.
But you could listen to a podcast. So
Yeah.
If you're about to head out, download a podcast. Download this podcast.
Actually, people have told me that they just listen to this podcast when they're on the road and... Even a couple of bands have told me that. So
I would say comedy is probably like the best thing you can do to kill those things. You know, because it's like it passes an hour. You know, and
but you know how bands are. There's always that one person who's like, he's like,
that's not funny
comedy anymore, man. Let's just put on. I got this Towns Van Zandt quadruple
leggy.
I love Towns Van Zandt, actually. I don't know why you said as an example. I once heard, like,
you're that guy.
I would be that guy. I'd be like, I've got the Funhouse sessions over here.
Want to hear all the alternate bootleg versions that didn't make the cut?
And man, I got this dubstep remix of We Will Fall.
There's always some muso in the group who insists on, you know, just playing some sort of... And it's always just the most excruciating crap.
Although I always enjoyed being in the van.
Jammy type fucking bullshit.
Because the people I was in the band with were mostly, like, really weird music nerds, but not in a terrible
way.
But
that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I consider myself a music fan.
Yeah.
But man, I want to hear comedy over if it's a 10-hour drive.
Yeah. I can't
time to hear music.
I'll tell you, like in the latter days of the Illuminati, Jim and Les, who were the guitar player and drummer from that band, became obsessed with this one metal record, this band Winter Sun.
Oh my God. Didn't they just play in Toronto?
They just played here, like a week ago.
You guys talk about it all the time whenever I'd see you guys.
They would talk about it all the time. And they played that record like twice a day. Like every day.
That's
on
what
tour,
I'm talking about.
On
that's
tour.
Horrible.
You and don't it was want like, that. And you know what? It was a good record. Like I liked it. But you know, you just get to the point where it's like, I don't have to listen to it. I can like press play in my head and I know every part of the record.
Well, that's kind of the brutal thing, right? Is that you wind up, there's these records that are your go-to records, and when that happens on the road with other people's ears, everyone knows how much they're playing it, and you wind up not... So, like, you know, like, Sleep or something, or Electric Wizard, like, it's like, oh, we're driving, and now it's that riff again, you know, those red, like, it's... That shit was always what was getting played in the van, but I had it at work, too, like, when we worked at the... warehouse. I think we talked about this already, but at Outside Music.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 11 musicians and artists there, and there was a record player there, and it turned into a thing where, you know, there was like a regimented turn system that got put in place so that nobody took advantage. But there was this one guy who would play the Rocky Erickson Evil One record like
every time,
every day, almost.
Could you please name him?
Because Lonnie James.
I knew you were going to say that. That is probably why I kind of buried that whole Rocky Erickson thing. And then when I heard it years later, I'm like,
why do I know this automatically? Like, I know every single bit of this.
Yeah, it's a great record. I can't remember when I heard it. But I certainly didn't know that at the time because I would just hear it every day. And I was like, eventually I'd be like, okay, I get it. It's blues rock with spooky lyrics. but now I love it. But then I saw Rocky Erickson a little while ago, and now I don't love it
anymore. Why not?
Because he was a bummer.
He's come out, right? And he's playing again?
Yeah, but
for anybody
weird.
Who doesn't know, Rocky Erickson.
Rocky, yeah.
He had 13th Floor Elevators. He fronted that, and then he started to put out his own albums, but he's been a shut-in.
Yeah.
Almost like a Syd Barrett type guy.
Has he been a shut-in?
I don't know if he's that extreme.
I don't think he's a shut-in. I think very specific happened where he was arrested for like marijuana possession and in Texas, which is actually you can go to jail for a long time, especially in probably 1968. So he pled guilty. But he pled insanity or something. So they did electroshock therapy on it.
That's what it is.
That's why this Evil One record, all the lyrics are like, you know, oh, there's a demon. I'm looking at a demon. Oh, another demon.
He's not crazy.
It's a cold night for alligators. Well, I don't think he's crazy, but I think his brain got
scrambled.
And I think maybe he was crazy before. Because that's always sort of the thing is like... You know, Daniel Johnson is like a guy who, you know, he got like a hit of acid or whatever from Gibby Haynes, was it? Like there was some story about Gibby Haynes giving him. And then he kind of went bonkers, but it's always, something always triggers these things with people.
My first experience with Rocky was actually you remember that movie, The Return of the Living Dead? It was like the zombie movie, 1985 with punks.
Yes. Yeah. Linnea Quigley is in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it actually had, like, the best soundtrack ever. It had, like, The Cramps and The Dead Boys.
I remember that.
TSOL. But there's a Rocky Erickson tune on there called Burn the Flames.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Burn to flames.
That's a really weird
Even
song.
Even the mouse. Anyway, but it plays in the scene where the guy knows he's going to turn into a zombie, so he climbs into the crematorium. But I always wanted to cover that song.
Yeah, it'll be a hard one to cover because it's kind of a slow one. There's a lot of personality, you know. You got to really go like.
Are you saying that Nick can't handle the personality?
Oh, I can handle it.
Nick, when I think of you, I think fast, no personality.
Leave my kidding. Sex life out of this.
Also, like, almost every day, you know, and Static Age especially is like, those songs are catchy enough, and then when you're hearing them every day, it's like...
Can we actually, I'd like to put a little footnote in about Static Age,
mm-hmm.
and that is that, all told, I like the Legacy of Brutality sequencing better...
Than Static Age?
Than Static Age.
Yeah, sure. I think Legacy of Brutality 1 and 2 are, like, pretty...
No, that's something else. That's a...
What?
You're never afraid to talk about Danzig, are you?
We've talked about Danzig so
much. I know, and that's actually what originally brought me into this. I thought there'd be Danzig. I feel like we always talk about Danzig.
We always
at least
do.
A little bit.
I fucking
and
love
then
Danzig.
Flans had that photo of him with Danzig.
What?
You made it up. He was photographed with Danzig, but Danzig's not in the photo. That's the joke.
It's photoshopped?
No. It's like whoever took the photo, like he wasn't in frame.
Oh, was it a fun fest?
No. I don't think Danzig was going to do anything nice at any of fun fest last year.
Oh, what is it called? Photobomb?
No. We went and saw him in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And my friend was a really big fan. Then he was like watching wrestling in his van or something, and we waited outside. Everybody waited outside, and then he did take pictures with his supporters, which I guess is important in secondary markets like Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Tertiary.
Yeah, tertiary. Maybe secondary. It's quad. Quart.
Quint.
Markets.
Quint. Octary.
Google markets.
I guess you're not going to be playing that.
place again. I'd love to play. We never played Allentown before. I'd love to play Allentown.
So you drove all the way down just to see Danzig?
Aren't they from Allentown? Yeah, my friend Daniela, who is the bassist in Brutal Knights originally, was like very crazy about Danzig. Like,
what year is this?
2003 or 4, maybe.
Because, I mean, I'm a big Lifetime Danzig fan, too, but 2003 and 4, I'm not going to drive all the way to Pennsylvania.
What? He was better in, especially at the Allentown show, he was better.
But you didn't know that when you got in the car and you're driving from Toronto.
Because we actually saw two shows in a row. We saw him in Allentown, and then we went and saw, the next day, we were like, let's just go to Pittsburgh, and we'll see. It was Danzig.
How intense is your fandom for Danzig?
My friends.
Well, wait. What did you see? Did you saw two Danzig shows?
The second Danzig show though was Danzig, Deicide, and I know, right? cattle decapitation.
Are you serious? You saw that
and
band?
And Christian. Yeah, it was.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, so it was quite the lineup. That was headlined? Why we wanted to go. Deicide.
Deicide.
Yeah.
Deicide headlined over Danzig.
I believe
Holy
so.
Shit.
Yes.
I saw Deicide in '93 at the Spectrum. On the Danforth, and I think it was with Cancer, and
I think Cancer.
I think Chort. It was before I was in the band. Chort opened.
Yeah, you weren't in the band yet. And Glenn Benton, the singer for Deicide, he opened up the show by coming on stage and saying, "He goes, hey." He goes. He starts going. This place smells like. No, he goes. There's a Christian in here. And he smells like shit. Yeah. And then he went on this whole speech about whoever the Christian was in the audience.
Get out.
Yeah, like he's gonna kill him and shit
you
like that.
You gotta go, man.
And like, yeah, there's a Christian in here and he smells like shit. And then they started their show. I thought that was like a great way to start
that
show.
Pittsburgh show. Sorry, that was the first time I'd ever really seen someone openly with like a swastika armband just walking the streets. It was like interesting to me at that time.
A friend of mine lives in LA and she swears up and down that Danzig drives a DeLorean. So I'd just like us to meditate on that. Think about Danzig.
Well, yeah, there's a lot
think
of
about
Danzig
a DeLorean.
Lore.
Think about
we always talk about Danzig.
There's a lot of Danzig Delore.
But the thing is, do you remember that photo they took that went viral on the internet with
the
Danzig buying cat litter?
Cat litter.
Yeah.
Do you know how many memes were made out of that photo?
Oh, there's that whole shopping list. Have you seen the Danzig shopping list?
No.
podcast listeners, I encourage you to look it up. It's Danzig buying different things at the shopping market, but it's accompanied by like a little soundbite where he sings it, you know, so they've got him with like a big thing of Mountain Dew and it goes, three little bottle of Mountain Dew.
Someone just did it.
Well, I remember there was that
and
whole
he goes
thing.
Like, frozen pizza.
I mean, you got to feel for him. The guy just wants to, go to the grocery store and buy food. And then he's, met with, about 50 different memes making fun of him buying food. it's not like he was buying strap-on dildo, you know?
I think that, the idea of Danzig as a cat person is both natural and also somehow an Achilles heel at the same time.
Well, isn't it sort of? No,
he's not supposed to be an anything person.
It's kind of like witchy. You can maybe the cat's black.
I mean, it's witchy, but it's also
he's shoveling shit.
You know, he's just like his house probably smells. You know, and he's alone and.
I will
all this stuff.
Even it's going on now on the podcast, and I find myself like I usually do when this
defending
Danzig. Yeah. I remember I met Nick at a bar once right after that Northside Kings whole beating up Danzig thing happened, and you were like, "Have you seen it?" And I'm like, "It's not funny, dude.
Yeah,
it's not funny."
I mean, I'm not as much of a supporter of anything that's part of the hardcore scene, thinking they're winning anything. You know?
Danzig to be evil and mean and to be the icon that he is without anyone. And he's made fun of because he's an icon.
I'm never going to think tattoo artists are better than Danzig.
Well, I think the problem with, like, going back to that Northside Kings video is that Danzig pushes the guy.
He does first.
He pushes this giant, towering man, and then he and puts he his arms
over.
Out.
He also fucked them over.
Well, that remains to be seen. It might not have been in his control. So I'm willing to give Danzig the benefit of the doubt because promoters do stuff, and they might have gone, this is the way it is.
He's just in his bus watching TV.
That's the thing. So, but he pushed the guy, and then he stands like in some kind of wrestling pose, and then the guy just comes in, and just goes like boom, and Danzig spins around with like X's on his eyes and hits the floor.
Hey, I got a news flash for you guys. I actually have not seen this video.
You're out of your mind. Everybody's seen it.
I don't think I saw it. I don't think I watched it.
If you haven't, there's a few people who haven't either. So do a search Northside Kings Danzig and you'll get it. And it's a 20 second, 30 second.
I've read a lot about it. I read an interview with the guy after the fact. That was why I was saying.
Are you kidding? They were like, they milked that.
Oh, they milked it. But, what did it do for them, really? In the end, not much. Not much.
Well, in the end, it was the music. And they're not a bad hardcore band. I mean,
they're just another hardcore band.
Yeah, they're not standing.
But it's funny, too.
Do they use the Varsity font on their shirts?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, what's wrong with that?
It's classic.
Like that.
It's a classic hardcore thing. Right? Didn't they do that?
I think the reason why that took hold, though, too, was like all those legends about, backstage antics in the late 80s between Danzig and Def Leppard.
I don't know that story.
There was like a big rumor that like they were on some festival thing and Danzig got into it, got beaten up by the one-armed drummer.
Oh, that's such horseshit. You know that is.
Right. And then there was that story about how old skull stomped Danzig out one time.
I'm not saying that he didn't get beat up, but it had to be they had to choose the drummer to be the member that fought
him. Dude, he's got a wicked left.
Now, time Nirvana threw Francis Bean at Danzig like a baseball. Hit him in the head.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this on a past podcast, but I had a chance to meet Danzig 2 years ago, and I turned it down. Yeah. As much of a big fan of Danzig, I turned it down because I am such a big fan. I got invited onto the bus, and I said, no, I don't want to meet him. And then the guy who, it was Tommy from Prong, one of his longstanding Danzig member. Yeah. And he goes, why don't you come on the bus, meet Glenn? I'm like, are you out of your mind? I think I said that to him. I'm like, are you out of your mind? No way. I'm not going to meet him. And he said, why not? Like, of course. Like, who doesn't want to meet? You're a fan. And I'm like, no. And I kind of regretted it a bit, but at least I have my Danzig fandom intact.
Well, you'll probably wind up meeting him soon.
I don't know. He seems like difficult, and he doesn't tour much anymore. There was a rumor that I heard that he was not going to tour anymore. After that Northside Kings incident, that's when I heard that.
That was a long time ago, and he's toured a lot, and he keeps touring with the same different gimmick, kind of where it's like, oh, Jerry Only's here or something,
but not Jerry Only.
Yeah, not Jerry Only, but like
the only thing that's left is a proper Misfits reunion.
Who's the one from Sam Hain? The guy from Sam Hain is the one that he brings on tour with.
No, the guy he had was
Doyle.
Doyle, but Doyle wasn't in Sam Hain.
No,
but isn't Jerry Only and Doyle brothers? Aren't they brothers?
Yeah, they are. Right?
Yeah. So it's only a matter of Doyle and Colin Jerry going.
So does that mean
Glenn's cool?
So is Jerry Only his real name Jerry Doyle?
Last name's like Carafa. I think it's like Jerry Carafa, and Doyle is his first name.
Yeah, Doyle. That's a good first name.
It's a great. Yeah, it was a great.
But apparently,
name.
That's I don't know if they'll ever make up because there was like that big lawsuit that ended the Misfits. Oh. Danzig got the publishing and Jerry Only got the merchandise.
You know what? Who got the better deal?
I would say Jerry got the better deal.
Jerry Only got the merchandising?
Apparently, yeah.
He got the better deal. for sure.
Jerry only got the better deal, dude.
He got the Hot Topic deal, you know? Whereas,
well, who knows? Maybe there was
Glenn got the HMV deal. When was the last time you saw an HMV? You know?
And the, another thing is, when it comes to Danzig merchandise and the horn, yeah. I think I found out about it through you.
Yeah.
It's not even his.
No, he ripped it off from, it's like a Marvel comic from the 50s. I can't remember.
A real rare. It was
like Captain Marvel.
It wasn't a very big title either.
No, it wasn't. It was something obscure, but it's, and here's another thing you could search for on the internets. But it's, yeah, it's like a little small feature at the bottom of, like, you know, it's the goat skull. It's exactly it. You know, if you put it on a black shirt, you know, with that writing, that is Danzig's trade dress. You know,
it is, man.
And even regardless of like how he, you know, I think it's green. I think it's actually green on the comics. I remember seeing it.
He's altered the skull since. Like newer Danzig shirts, newer merchandise, the skull is altered.
Really?
You know, Northside Kings altered his skull as well.
Have you seen that, actually? The Northside Kings Danzig skull? It's actually got like blood trickling out of the nose and axes on the eyes.
No. That's
they did it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Ever have that where, you know, let's say JC was doing Danko Jones with the singer was he got
is that where you want to go?
Serena Ryder.
Serena Ryder.
No, he got
I'll buy a ticket just to watch that.
He gets Amanda Palmer from Dresden Dolls to sing under the name Danko Jones with him.
Well,
and they're playing next door to your house.
If it's her, then yeah, maybe.
But except that it's not as crazy as you think, because at the book launch, we did a bunch of Danko songs, and Danko had to watch us doing his songs.
And you took it pretty well.
And I forgot the lyrics.
You forgot the lyrics.
We ended a podcast.
You were clearly happy not to be singing.
A couple of podcast episodes ago, we talked about that, and we ended with Nick doing Mango Kid at the end of the podcast as the outro music.
Oh, really?
Obviously, both of you didn't listen to it.
Well,
especially you, Nick.
Yeah, well, I always
we
hear,
talked about.
I
always,
well, you know why? Because I was there, and it was like I was just listening to the interview that I watched in person.
Yeah, and I actually haven't listened to that episode.
No,
yet.
it was a podcast episode where it was just Nick and I here talking.
Recapping
what we had done in the last 6 months because we hadn't done a podcast.
Right, and it turned out we hadn't done anything. We both just stayed.
You came up to me. No, you came up to me at the book launch.
I was really
and he
worried.
Said, "Hey, when are we gonna do a podcast, man?" That's my impression.
Like
of you.
On the down low.
And I go, "Well, what do you got? Yeah, sure. I mean, whatever. Yeah, because I got
here's
stuff
my impression.
To talk about, man.
Here's my impression of you.
Canada is a pretty funny place.
No,
we don't really appreciate any of our artists.
That's a different impression of me.
But then we go to Europe, and things get pretty crazy for it. Not just in rock and roll. It happened with a writer."
This
writer's name.
The last episode you did an impression of me, and it was like, "It was like this." Yeah,
that's when you're off mic. That's you're like,
"Excuse me, can I have a chai? Can I have an iced chai?"
I can do Nick Sewell.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's hear it.
Shit.
Bringing it back to Danzig.
Well, I'll take that opportunity to talk about Danzig some more.
Nick just took off to take a whiz.
Yeah, well, see how much coffee he's been drinking? He's
like, yeah. Do you want more coffee, by the way?
No, I'm okay, because I don't want to be that guy.
I am that guy, pissing
in the middle of a radio show.
I'm going to wait.
Like, you can tell he's non-union.
But now that he's not here to interrupt, I can talk to you about Danzig till the cows come home, and I think we've been talking about Danzig for the last half an hour.
Well, you know.
And getting back to what we first started talking about, which is Jerry Only's merchandise versus Danzig's publishing of the Misfits catalog, I think Jerry Only got the better of the deal.
Well, I'm going to go with you on that. Gloves. Gloves alone.
We all
just on the gloves. Yeah, everybody wants those gloves.
The glove market.
Yeah. Skeleton hands.
Huge market.
Well, when Cliff Burton wore the Misfits T-shirt and all those well, legendary photos.
And he had the tattoo.
And he had the tattoo.
He had the tattoo. You know what? To be totally honest, that is how I got into Misfits.
Yeah,
same. I was like, starting to play bass. I was like, that guy's my hero. He's like the best bass player.
There's probably people with like a Crimson Ghost tattoo who just maybe know the song, you know, Green Horror Hell. Hotel.
No, they don't even know that. They know no, Green know. Hell from like Garage yeah. Days. Metallica
right,
Garage
yeah, they Days. Know, like, well, yeah. I don't have a tattoo, but I've always
but
said.
You're booked in
if,
to get one.
If I ever did, I would probably get the skull that Cliff had on his arm. Just because yeah. it's so fucking cool, and it at least it's a tat that means something to
it's
me.
A double reference.
Yeah, because I stared at it, and then yeah. I became a fan of the band.
Oh,
turning to Metallica.
Wait, is this a good band name? Fiscal Cliff Burton. What do you think?
Oh, that's what we were. That's
oh,
what
that's
trying
what we were
going to
talk about. We were going to talk about rock band names
in the van. This game that you hatched and he yeah. threw at me at Melissa's party.
Oh, what's this game?
Okay, well, this came about. We were playing in Biblical was playing in Hamilton. Right. And I actually have to credit Jay and Matt for my band because they had been playing this game for a while and they taught it to me. But mm-hmm. I've been the one keeping it alive since because they were sick of it. But I'm the one who insists on playing it. What it is you try to think if you had a friend who was super into some specific band and then you give them a name that happens to like line up with the band name. So if you had a buddy named Jeff and he was just like totally fucking sick for Def Leppard.
Okay.
And the fact that the drummer beat up Danzig.
Mm-hmm. And is what?
You'd call him Jeff Leppard. Or if you had a buddy, Jack, who was into Black Sabbath, you'd call him Jack Sabbath. So
okay.
from there, it extends infinitely into just trying to find as many ridiculous dude, bro, band names that you can.
Okay. So there's Jack Sabbath. What else do you got?
Well, you can get pretty advanced. I think the best one, my favorite that I've ever come up with, was Denesis.
What about Susan Distortion? Does that work?
It actually might be the best one yet.
That kind of works, right? Susan Little. What else?
You want to get super metal? Troyvod.
Troyvod, right?
Troyvod. Dude.
These are names that people can go forth and be.
Yeah.
They could use
yeah,
that
like
as,
if that, if your name is Troy,
as
I would
egos.
Say get into Voivod and then take it, own it.
Oh, Elecnik Frankenstein?
Elecnik.
It's yeah, yours. Like it's all yours.
Yeah, it's yours, dude. Or when you know they ask you for you're waiting in line at a restaurant, they go, "What's your name?" They'll call your name out.
Well, I'm Starbucks.
Troyvod, party of four.
Starbucks yeah. cup would be.
Well, I used to just go. I used to give them like numbers and letters, like X145.
Oh, check this out, Bill X, like a guy named Bill who really likes Skrillex.
Bill X.
Bill X.
Then there's the bands that have
Sound
the name.
Gordon.
Sound Gordon. That's
Sound
good.
Gordon. That's a good
Sound
one.
Sound Gordon.
There's the bands
Mastodonald.
the bands that have the name already in them, like Anthrax.
Well, we had Danthrax.
Danthrax. That's a big one.
He's a dude, bro. Danthrax.
Yeah, and there's Janthrax.
Janthrax.
Motorhead. That's already built in.
We had Motor Ted.
You can't really. I think you've got to disqualify two letter names. Like
okay,
Al
so Joterhead. Joterhead.
Joterhead.
Temple of the Doug.
Temple of the Doug.
I'm gonna go with lots of females. So you got Motor Heather.
Motor Heather. That's a good one.
Okay. Well, along that lines. There's been a big quest to find a good one for Metallica because it's kind of like a, and it's a little bit of an awkward one, but as you say it, it kind of captures the vowel flavor.
Okay,
Metallica.
Metallica.
How about Metallica-tharin? Metallica-tharin.
But what about just going Metallica? Like Mitt Romney likes Metallica.
Metallica. Yeah. That's a good one. Mitt. Now that Mitt is on everybody's mind.
Honeymoon Pete.
Honeymoon Pete, that's really good.
That's a good one. How about Kate Breed?
Yeah, Kate Breed,
that's good. Or
Judith Priest.
What about
Judith Priest? Yeah, that would be that's an obvious one, I think, isn't it? Or no?
John Lee Hooker.
Now, kids at home, if you want to play this game,
Troy Vod, I like that one.
Think of the band name first. Don't think of the name. Think of the band name, and then it all flows from there.
Coming up with band names, like, it's hard to come up with a band name.
Camilla Fudge.
Camilla Fudge, that's a good one.
Yeah.
ZZ Topanga.
Dude. ZZ Pop.
You're taking a shit on this game.
No, what else is there?
A really good late entry from Jay from my band. Yeah. We're actually playing with Corrosion of Conformity in Barrie, Ontario.
When is that?
I'll make the drive to Akron. this was actually about, it was in November, middle of November.
How was it?
Heavy.
And that's the classic Animosity lineup, right?
Classic with Animosity with, Woody. Reed.
Did you hang out with them? Or
I actually did, because Reed Mullen is friends with. Do you remember Ben Smythe?
Yes. Yeah.
Hardcore Toronto drummer guy. Anyway, he's lived in New York for like 15 years at least.
Every time we're in New York, Ben comes by.
Yeah, for sure. And I always go see him. But he's friends with Reed Mullen. And when they were hanging out in NYC, Ben told the band that, oh, you're gonna be playing with my friend's band, so I actually had like this pre-intro.
Cool.
And we had a bit of a bro down. It was really cool.
Have you ever seen Ben play drums?
Yeah, we used to share a space down.
He kind of looks like Reed Mullen back in the day with his whole hair, when he had long blonde hair. He kind of looked that whole Reed Mullen thing.
It's true.
I've got a story about Reed Mullen.
Uh-oh.
And it has to do with Danzig too.
You're giving me a chub.
So we're bringing it around.
I don't have an erection.
Well, when I was in high school, Danzig was on tour with Soundgarden and Corrosion Conformity, and Danzig was headlining. For all you grunge fanatics out there, so it was a Danzig show, and I went down to the concert hall to see if I could like meet them and get photos and autographs and all that stuff at soundcheck, because I realized that if you go early, they have this thing called sound check where the band is just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I met bands that way. So Danzig got turned away from the border, and Soundgarden both bands
didn't make it
to Toronto.
I guess they're sharing a bus.
And I guess this is before cell phones and everything. Nobody told COC. So they showed up to the gig and everything was locked, and they just found out that they weren't going to play the show tonight, and they were scrambling for a gig. I think they ended up playing the Apocalypse Club that night. Anyways, it was Pepper had just joined the band, and they were a five piece, and that guy Carl was singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Kerrang magazine for them to sign, and there was a photo of Reed where he was in his fucking glory, where like his hair was like spinning, like it was a wicked rock shot. And he freaked out when he saw the photo in Kerrang. And he showed all the guys, I'll never forget this, he showed all the guys in the band, and I have it all, they all signed it, and he was like, fuck, look at that, man. He was like, he was getting off on himself, right? And all the other guys were like, well, that's cool, it's not me. So who cares? What is it? Oh, when did America's Volume Dealer come out?
2002, 2003.
America's Volume Dealer, which was the last.
Sorry, go easy on that coffee, man. You're going to be pissing. Sorry.
I drank lots of coffee.
He's got to piss so bad his shirt's yellow.
I'm wearing a yellow shirt today.
He's wearing a yellow sweater, which is even worse. Anyway,
but Christmassy.
So America's Volume Dealer comes out 02, 03, I want to say. And I get the record. I buy the record. And I look. I open up the inner sleeve. And there's the photo from Kerrang that Reed fucking got crazy about. And this is like, I mean, we're going back when I was in high school to 2003. That's how much he loved that photo.
10 years later.
Yeah. And that, if you look in America's Volume Dealer, COC, Reed Mullen signed my Kerrang magazine. That's from Kerrang, because he loved that photo, and it finally made it.
He, like, sought it out.
But it's a really old photo.
Drummers are so weird.
So when I saw that, I was like, no shit. Back in the day, that's... I guess he figured out what it was, or he got the photographer's name from what I signed. So
he still got the hair, too. He still does.
I saw a video for their new single recently.
It's actually a pretty heavy record, that new CSC. It's like pretty doomy.
I haven't heard it, but I heard that song, and when I heard it, I was like, okay, this is a good record.
It's like a doomy version of Animosity. And funny enough about CSC, I didn't, like, playing with them, I didn't realize how much Reed sang.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he sings, like,
yeah, really.
He sings, like, half the shit on Animosity.
Really?
I thought it was always, I thought it was Mike Dean, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, before the age of videos, but seeing them play... They were doing all trade-offs.
I never knew that. I saw them when Mike Dean rejoined the band with
Pepper
Reed.
Was still in.
Oh, with Pepper, I mean.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Bauer was playing drums.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from... what's that band?
Why wasn't Reed in the band?
He's in Down, isn't he? Jimmy Bauer.
I don't know.
I don't know. This is years ago. Years ago.
I thought Reed was... I didn't know Reed left for any reason.
He wasn't there that night. That I saw.
So maybe it was like a
maybe one-off. It was a tour that he was not part of for, but yeah. So that's the COC Danzig, and so there's Danzig tying.
But
it in
you
there.
Brought up going to Barry opening for
COC
Conformity. Why did you bring that up?
Because it was Dude Bro Names. Sorry,
you hadn't finished your story. Oh, going back to the game. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but we're back on the game.
Yeah, that's the overwhelming.
Oh, because you have new names, right, Nick?
Do you?
That's why.
That's
you're
why
bringing
you
it back.
Gymistry.
Gymnastry.
Gymnastry.
I believe Jay's that night. See, here's the thing about this game. It sounds really stupid, but
but when you apply it,
but when you start riffing on it, it can go great places. And just when you think it's totally exhausted, somebody will come up with one more that makes it all fresh again. In this case, that COC show, Jay laid down Chad Religion.
Chad Religion. Chad Religion. I like it.
Chad Religion.
Yeah,
Chad that's religion. Good, man.
Oh man.
That's good.
It made it all new again.
I just feel bad. Like, I'm really, like, my brain is locking into this.
Oh, because this is what you're about, yeah. Nick.
This is
all about your tweets, about yourself, your comedy.
Yeah.
This basically incorporates everything.
Bob will eat itself.
Oh, get the aloe. Someone just got burned.
Bob will eat itself.
What about Marilyn Danson?
Marilyn Danson. I want to see that band. They only do the Cheers theme.
See, what we do, each one of us, is our first name is like a cat name. And their last name is a character from Cheers. So there's Felix Perlman.
Felix Perlman.
Boots Harrelson.
Boots.
You got a cat names. How about Oscar Long, right?
Oscar Long, I like that. Boots Harrelson.
Oscar Went.
I don't know. That's I guess a cat name.
Sylvester Went.
These could be people names.
Morris Grammer.
Morris Grammer. Oh, no.
Oh, man. You had to bring it back. You know what it was? While I was telling my COC story to you, Nick was quiet, which was odd.
Yeah, it was.
He was just
a long period of
man.
It's a long period of deliberation.
I actually, honestly, I thought I was like, I thought I was doing
this?
Us a favor. I thought I was like, and Nick, you were talking before about the thing. And then I'd forgotten it was just bringing us back to this game that we were clearly getting out of as a subject and all happy to be leaving.
How do we end this thing?
All right, well, let's just think of some more band names. Come on. But why'd she cry?